I would like to welcome everyone to the gospel meeting this evening. And thank you very much for coming to this meeting, if you have come specifically for this meeting. If you have been here during the day for the Bible conference, we are very appreciative for all who have stayed for the preaching of the gospel tonight. There will be a similar gospel meeting tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock in this auditorium, and everyone is invited to be present for the preaching of the gospel tomorrow evening in the will of the Lord. And they asked me to announce the speakers this evening are myself, John Dennison, and Mr. David Oliver. And as well, if you have any questions, we'll be available to speak with anyone at the close of the meeting. The next meeting in the conference will be in this auditorium, and that will be tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock will be a meeting that is called the Breaking of Bread or the Lord's Supper in the New Testament. That's what it's called, and you're invited to come to that as well. And we would be together at 10 o'clock for the Lord's Supper tomorrow morning. And before we read from the Bible, we'll take just a couple moments to speak to God in prayer. Our gracious God, Father in heaven, we thank Thee that we have been able to sing tonight about an event that took place nearly 2,000 years ago. Calvary, the place where the cross of the Lord Jesus was, that awful event and yet that blessed event, when the Savior died upon the cross. We know that for an event to be remembered, it has to be significant. And it is significant because the world has never seen qualities expressed in a human being like they were in the Lord Jesus. They were not qualities that came to be in Him, but rather it is what He is. We are thankful that on the cross, even, He showed His tremendous patience, His love and His longing that souls will be in heaven. Even a thief that was beside Him went that day to paradise with the Lord Jesus. This is the desire of the Savior. It is the desire of Thee, O our God, that everyone should be saved. We thank Thee as well that that event is significant for the effect that it has had. And the fact that there are so many people here tonight who have come to find the value in the cross and what took place there and in the man of Calvary. Father, we pray tonight that Thou would help us to present the Lord Jesus and what He did on the cross. He will be remembered forever, and we will be with Him forever. And we will always be conscious of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that tonight there will be those who will be willing to receive the message of the cross, and that there will be salvation through the man of the cross, our Lord Jesus Christ, here in this auditorium. And so we pray for help to read the Word of God and to speak it forth. We ask it of Thee in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to read with you in the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 2. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the feet, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it. There's no health, but wounds and bruises, and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Now, we'll just read one other place in this same book. That will be all for the first part of the meeting. We'll read now in chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. and verse 1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripe we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Maybe, just maybe, there's somebody here in the auditorium tonight, and what you would like to be saved. You would like to know what it is that so many people here have, salvation. And one of the things that you would really like to know, because I remember before I got salvation, is you'd really like to know what it's like. So that way you'll know when it happens. And you say, well, if I could just be there, if I could just stand beside somebody and I could see it happen, that would help me. Well, let me tell you that you don't change color when you get saved. And all you don't grow taller and you don't suddenly begin to tingle. But there is something that happens. And that is what you're going to get to do tonight. You've already done it. Because that's what happens here in the book of Isaiah. It's not one person. It's actually a whole group of people. Maybe a nation. And all of them are going to get saved. And we get to be witnesses. And the Bible tells exactly what's going to happen. And then there's no description of them. There's any kind of physical change. Any kind of emotional change. But what does happen is they understand something. And they believe something. And we'll go back over to here. And I hope it'll be a help and a blessing to your soul. Because that would be God's greatest desire for you tonight. Is that you too would be saved. Because these people, what did they say in chapter 53? By his stripe we're healed, we're saved. That's the words. Wouldn't it be great tonight, on the Saturday night of this conference, if by the end of this meeting, you can look to God and you can say, thank God I am saved. That brings up the question, why aren't you saved? Why aren't you saved? Well, don't you suppose at the end of this meeting, and instead of the preacher standing at the door to shake hands and thank all the people for tolerating us, maybe just imagine that there's an eye doctor, an ophthalmologist standing at the door. He's an ophthalmological surgeon. And he's passing out appointment cards. And you go to the door and you see, you get this card and it says, Wednesday at 2 o'clock, you're scheduled for a cornea transplant in your eye. You're going to use a good Spanish word. You're going to use the word loco. You know what I mean? Crazy. What is this man? Why would he schedule me for a cornea transplant? I 20/20 vision. I have no problems. I can see. I do. You see, you wouldn't be interested in his help at all if you didn't need his services. Why are you not saved tonight? Maybe it's because you don't need it. Or at least maybe you don't think you need it. Maybe that's what happened here, and that's why for so long these people were not saved. They didn't maybe think they needed it. But now just take a look at the way God looks at it, and you tell me whether they need it, and you tell me whether you need it. Because look what how the Bible describes. It gives us a threefold description of us as human beings. I know it's of a nation, but it applies in all of the Bible. It'll apply to us as well. The first thing I want you to notice is that it actually describes in Isaiah chapter 1 a ruined person this is really strong language, but I'm talking about myself as well, a rotten person. Just in the sense that it talks about wounds and bruises and sores, and it's kind of a stomach-turning description of a human being, using physical descriptions to describe a spiritual condition. You see, one of the reasons we don't think we need it is because we confuse symptoms with a systemic problem, a problem that's inside. And so you look at people that, and they, it shows because they have an they're an alcoholic and they get drunk, or they're a drug user, or they're a thief. And you say, that I don't have that symptom. I don't have that disease because I don't have that symptom. No, no, no. Your symptoms might be different. It might be a bad temper. It might be a jealous heart, jealous of other friends. It might be dishonesty. It might be pride. It might be a lack of respect for authority. It might be a whole host of symptoms or a whole bunch of little symptoms. But if you are honest tonight, you will identify the symptoms. But please don't confuse the symptoms with a reality that the Bible says the problem of sin is so great, it is an internal problem that just expresses itself in some people in some ways and in other people in other ways. So don't take comfort by looking at it. Maybe a neighbor and you find him laying outside his house. Or maybe somebody at school and you listen, your language is just, it's just disgusting the way they speak and they use the name of God in vain. And you would never do that, and you say, I don't. They need it, but I don't need it. The Bible says that we are all sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that is the reality that Isaiah is coming to in this book and is trying to get his people to see. The awful rottenness of the human heart. The seriousness of it all. That man is ruined. If you put it this way, Isaiah one day, he saw God, he saw the Lord high and lifted. He got to see. He got to see the Lord high and lifted up on his throne. And when he saw angelic beings up there, and they were crying out about the Lord, they were saying to him, holy, holy, holy. Isaiah, he stopped looking at the people. And he stopped talking about a people of unclean lips. And he said, woe's me. When I take a look at the holiness, the purity, the health of God, and I look at myself, I'm sick. I've got a disease. Sin is inside me. It expresses itself even in my lips when I'm trying to be a prophet for God. He says that it is so critical. It's like darkness and light. That God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And I am in darkness. The darkness of sin. The sinfulness of the human being.
Down in Mexico, 12 years ago, we took a man to the doctor to get him fixed. A surgeon kindly offered his services and took this man whose leg came down and went like that. He had fallen, had no money, and it had healed just in bed, just awful. And the surgeon supposedly fixed his leg. And dear Ramon, after a while, got a tremendous infection. What had happened was the doctor said he would charge us for his services, but not for the plates and screws. But what he didn't tell us, and we found out later, is he took his plates and screws out of somebody else, and he reused them, which caused the infection. And when we took him to the doctor, and they opened his leg up, there's some doctors here, I've got to speak carefully, but they've seen it all. And they're not real emotional people when they see that kind of thing, right? I heard a doctor gasp. Recoil. Tonight, if you could get a good look at your own heart in the sight of the way God looks at it, the sickness, the sinfulness, the rotten of the human... It's not that we are good people, but we have a bad temper. It's not that we have a good heart, but we just have a habit of stealing. It is not that you're really a good young man, but you just have trouble obeying your parents. Rotten. It's inside. The whole thing. Isaiah says, from the head to the toe, from the sole of the foot to the head, the heart, the head, the whole thing. It has been absolutely ruined by sin. Absolutely unacceptable. It would make you gasp. God looks down, the holy God of heaven, with a heart full of love, longing to have you there. But if you could somehow look at his heart and how much he wants you in heaven, and he could look, and you could get a good look at your heart and the condition of it all, you would have one word to describe it.
impossible. How could a holy, perfect, righteous God ever have a sinner like me in His presence? The description, I need salvation because I'm ruined and rotten with sin. You see now, when I think of that, I feel so bad for people that are trying to put a little Band-Aid on it all. You know, try and go through some ritual, take part in some kind of a church experience or come to an altar or pray a prayer or to be baptized even. And it's a real deep problem. That's just giving two Tylenol to it. That's not going to fix it. This is going to require major treatment. Ruined by sin. But I want you to think as well that the Bible just speaks of it as rebellion. As rebellion. God says, I brought up children and they've rebelled. We come to Isaiah 53 and it says, but He was wounded for our transgressions. The word there is our rebellion. Now you don't look like a rebel. What do you think of when you think of a rebel? Think of somebody that's anti-government, that's standing outside some fence, that is opposing, trying to get media attention, and you say they won't submit to the government.
Exactly. Only in your case, the government is not some state government, some federal government. It's the universal government of God. And in my case as well. And God looks down and He says, you've rebelled.
You have turned. What is rebellion? You see, the ruin of sin, it is an affront to what God's person is. But when you come now to sin being described in us as being rebellion, now it is a case of God's authority. I remember the first time when my beautiful baby young son, everybody said nobody's got perfect children, but, you know, I had Nathan. And he continued to grow up just as I pictured. So one day he got a hold of a garbage can and he tipped it over. And I got down in his little face right in front of him. And I put the garbage can up and I said, no. And he turned around and went back to the garbage can, looked at me, and threw it on the ground. I could hardly believe that I had given birth to a rebel. What was he saying? That little fellow was expressing what was in his heart. I don't like bowing to authority. Every act of sin when God says don't and we do, and God says do and we don't, we are looking into the eyes of God and saying, away with God's authority. I will not have God's authority in my life. And my friend tonight, is that not true in your case? Would you not be willing to admit, to be honest before God, that God looks down and He says sin, transgression, rebellion in our hearts. God says, I've given you so much privilege. But He says, you rebelled against me. The next word is, it says, He's wounded for our transgressions, He's bruised for our iniquities. The idea is there that it's an offense. This is something that's serious. This is serious business. When God looks down at a sinner, a person in this world, and He looks down and He says, you have actually offended me. It's been an offense against my law and a breaking of divine law. And that is something that God has seen.
Tonight, if you can look at your offenses and you can look at your rebellion, and you can look at a God whose heart is just longing to have you in heaven, but a God who's a fair judge, you would say, God will never be able to take me into heaven. You would say, if you were honest tonight, if God put me in hell tonight, He would have every reason to do it. And if you came to that right conclusion, you would be before God and you would be crying out to God for salvation. You would need it. You would need God to intervene. There would be nothing else that could help. There would be nothing you could do to pay for it. Your rebellion against God. Your wanting to do away with His authority so many times and in so many ways in your heart and your soul, in your mind and your thought and your speech and in your life. You would say, God, oh God, I need salvation.
I need to be saved from the punishment for all of my rebellion and my law breaking. But Isaiah goes on and he says, let me just give you the third part of the picture here, just so maybe you'll see whether you need it or not. He says, who has believed the report? Some of you have not believed the report. The news that has come from the far country. That should be part like cold water to a thirsty soul. It's not good tidings that come. And when it came, he dismissed it. Your sinfulness, your ruin says, that doesn't fit with God's person. The rebellion says, I don't want God's authority. The rejection is this, I will not take God at His word. Is that really offense? There's a lot of students here. Do you know what plagiarism is? Good. If you don't know, that's a good thing. That's where you copy somebody. You know, copy, paste. Only you copy it, you turn it in, put your name at the bottom as if you wrote it. Just suppose you had to write a paper this year, and you write it all out, and you write to do your homework, and you write out this beautiful thing, and you type it all out, and you have slaved over it in the library, slaved over it at home, hours and hours and hours, and you refined it all, and you turn it in, and it comes back on it, failed, plagiarized. You know what shade of red you would be if you walked into that teacher's office. Back into that classroom to look that teacher in the eye. Like, this is not plagiarized. I did this. Like, this is my, all of these are my words. The teacher looks you back in the eye and says, I don't believe even now what you're telling me. Well, how would you take that? That would be in a person. It's not just your word. It goes right down to your person. You're saying that I am an untrustworthy person, that you don't believe that I'm a liar? For how long has God been saying to you that you need to be saved? For how long has He been trying to tell you to seek the Savior? Could I be so kind tonight? Please take it as a kindness. I hope you'll take it that way. Oh, that you would recognize it's not just that sin within you has ruined you and rebellious acts have been committed against God, but you have offended God by rejecting His Word. And you have been calling God a liar. To not accept His word is to question His person. That He would be truthful. That He would speak the right words and mean what He says and say what He means. What would God do with a person like that tonight? Would it be too much for me to exaggerate? I wouldn't be exaggerating, would I? If tonight you saw yourself the way God sees you, with the rottenness of sin within. Pardon the strong expression, but it's true. A person who has rebelled against your very God. A person who has insulted Him by rejecting His word. You would fall on your knees right in this auditorium tonight. And you would cry out for mercy from God. Oh God! Don't give me what I deserve for what I am, what I've done. If you really believe that, would you need to be saved? Absolutely. And you have needed to be saved. And so tonight you need it. You need it. And so if you're not saved, it's not because you don't need it. But maybe you need a cornea transplant. And you go out there, you get the card, you tear it up. You see, the other component is it might be just that you need it, but you don't want it. It may be tonight that there will be people who need salvation, and you'll go out the doors of this auditorium, and the real reason you're not saved is because you don't want it. There's a third possibility, and that is salvation's not available. I says, who has believed the report? He says, now listen to this report. To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Someone said, the arm of the Lord. Well, what is that? That's kind of a strange expression. What does that mean? The arm of the Lord revealed. Someone has said, well, this is like a, not to be irreverent, but it's like the Lord rolling up His sleeves. The arm of the Lord revealed. Well, what's going on here? This is God saying, I see the problem clearly. I am going to take care of it all. I'm going to move in. And that is the story of this, This blessed chapter 53 that we have read, it is a story of the remedy. What does it say? How is God going to bring about salvation for a person who's in this condition? This is a God of love for sure. Look what it says. The arm of the Lord is revealed, and He. The arm of the Lord is actually a person. In other words, God's way of dealing with it, He sent a person. That person has come. The Messiah of Israel. The Lord Jesus Christ. And in that person will grow up before God, and He'll look at Him like a tender plant. Absolutely beautiful, doing what He's supposed to do. Nothing of sin, nothing of wickedness within Him. No rebellion in His heart.
Let me get right to verse 5. But He, the same He, was wounded and bruised. We have the idea there of two big millstones, and a grain of wheat is going through, and the millstones come and it just grinds it. People who get saved understand that what happened to the Lord Jesus, this is not now what men's hands did to the Lord Jesus when He was on the cross. If for Him it was an experience like going between the stones. The pressure of it all. And there was that pain of it all. It was like a wounding. There was a deep sore. It was hurtful to them all as God was dealing with him. And then it talks about the punishment of our peace, the chastisement, that God was putting punishment on him. What if he grew up before God, pleasing God? Why is God now doing this? And why is there a stroke from God with all of that force? And why was there the placing the Lord has laid on him, the iniquity? There's one beautiful word I want to leave with you tonight. F-O-R.
He was wounded. Why? For
our transgression.
He was bruised for our iniquities. There's a purpose in it all. The punishment of our peace was upon him. With a stripe we're healed. You see what God was doing there? He was dealing with this very problem of our sin in the person of the Lord Jesus. The arm of the Lord revealed. And when the nation understands that, what the Savior did at the cross, and tonight if you understood who it is who was there and what He has done, the value of that sacrifice, that He did not need to suffer, He did not for His own, but it was for who? There were people in those days. There'll be a nation in the future. There's many people here tonight, and I hope it'll be your case. Who will believe the report? Could I just tell you, I am 100% convinced that when the Lord Jesus was punished, He was punished for me. For my rebellion. For my sin. And because of the punishment that was upon Him, I, get it now, am saved, healed. Do you need it? Absolutely. Is it available? Can you have it? Here it is. So it all comes back to that one central issue again. Do you want it? If you want to be saved, salvation is available. The question goes out tonight from heaven. Who has believed? Who will believe the report? The Lord Jesus said, He that heareth my word and believeth him that sent me has